Wow. I tell you what, I don't know about you guys, but that is becoming one of my favorite songs. I just find myself humming that song through the week. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And how appropriate in the midst of these 4 or 5 weeks that we've been discussing Romans chapter 8 about suffering to know that, wow, no matter what we're in, high or low, He will never let go of us. Amen? And because He's not going to let go of us, we're never going to let go of Him. Amen? We're excited to be here this morning on this Thanksgiving weekend. And we hope you had a wonderful time with your family this weekend. At this time, we're going to get ready to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. But before we do, I know you're aware of this, but wow. We've been so blessed with a wonderful worship team. But I know you've been praying, but let's not forget that Miss Sandra, one of our piano players, she's still in Vanderbilt Hospital. And they just still haven't exactly figured out on what to do. So please continue to remember Ron and Sandra in our prayer. And then you may have heard or may not have heard, but yesterday Marilyn Walker and Julie Burroughs was in an accident on Highway 641 going into Murray. And so this morning, Nick's not here and Marilyn's not here. Julie went through several hours of surgery yesterday afternoon repairing a femur that was broken in 4 places. And Marilyn was just bruised really bad, but she did get to be released, and she's at home. So let's just pray for Sandra and for Marilyn and for Julie. And we have others that, of course, have been sick that I know you know of. But, wow, let's not forget those people. And as I was just listening to our worship team, you just miss those folks being there with us. So please, let's do not forget them in prayer this morning. And we're going to pray for them, if you don't mind, while we receive our morning tithes and offerings this morning. Please don't forget, we are trying to have our largest offering for Lottie Moon in the history of our church. We don't want to put a limit on what you want to give, but we really want you to dig down deep. And let's give so that every man, woman, boy, and girl can hear about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In your bulletin this morning, you have a prayer guide. This morning, we're going to start praying for the people of northern India. And there's a wonderful story about Moses in there and how he come to know Christ and how now he's working alongside missionaries to take the gospel to the folks of northern India. So please use this week. We, along with other Southern Baptists across the nation, are going to be praying for our Southern Baptist missionaries this week. And we're going to receive our Lottie Moon offering through the end of December. Put your Lottie Moon offering in this GoTel envelope. And everything you give will go to our Southern Baptist missionaries. 50% of the support for our Southern Baptist missionaries is raised during this Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. 100% of what you give goes directly to the missionaries because the overhead cost and things like that of being such a big mission organization, that's handled through our cooperative program giving. So this is a very, very important offering to our missionaries. Let's worship the Lord this morning with our tithes and offerings. Father, we come before You this morning and so thankful for Your Son, Jesus. Yet, Father, we want to be honest with You. Our hearts ache a little bit this morning, a lot, because of those we're missing. Father, we've got many that are out this morning because they've been blessed with health and they're traveling and they're seeing family this holiday season. And we praise You for living in a country that we can stop every once in a while and lay aside our work and truly, truly just enjoy our family and somehow get to see family that they don't see for the rest of the year. But Father, we got some folks here this morning, especially some folks who are normally on stage that just aren't here because of sickness and accident. Father, we want to lift them before You this morning and be with their families too. Father, we want to thank You for the blessing of health that enables us to reach down into our pockets this morning and give to see that the gospel is proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Bless this offering in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like torn my heart to hear and raise my fears relief. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, is ransomed. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good.
Be seated. Praise the Lord, our chains are gone. If you have your Bibles, again, open to Romans chapter 8. I may be wrong, but I sense a subdued spirit here this morning. Do you sense that? Could we pray? I don't know if we had too much turkey. But I just don't sense we're into it this morning. This passage that we're going to look at this morning is unbelievable to me. And I don't want us to miss it. So would you bow before the Lord and let's just ask God to give us a spirit that's awake and in tune to Him. Father, well, Father, I thank You that I didn't miss it. Because I saw the whole congregation nod, raise their hand that yes. Father, something's different this morning. We don't believe it's You. Because You don't change. The Bible tells us You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But Father, we are weak in the flesh. And for whatever reason, there just doesn't seem to be a spirit of excitement, a spirit of anticipation this morning. And Father, that's been unusual because this service, wow. You know it, Father. It's been growing in our attitude towards You, our worship towards You. Some of our best mornings have been at 8 o'clock. So, Father, we're going to confess to You our wrong this morning. Maybe the holiday, Father, got us out of our regularness to truly realize, wow, today is the first day of a brand new week. And You got a word for us this morning. Father, we confess to You that we did not worship You with enthusiasm. We did not worship You with the reverence that's due You. But Father, we're now going to listen to You as You speak to us from Your Word. In Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask for your mercy, I guess. Normally, if you've been with me for the past 20-something years here, and many of you here were here before I was, you know that today we begin to talk about missions. And then in December, we begin to usually look toward the birth of Christ. We're in the middle of Romans chapter 8, and we've been dealing with suffering for 4 weeks now. And I just do not feel we can stop yet. So I'm going to ask you to pardon me, give me a little mercy and grace, and if you would allow me to, I want us to look at verses 26 and 27 this morning, then I want us to come back next Sunday and listen to verses 28, 29, and 30. And then that's going to finish this transition of the Apostle Paul from victory in Jesus and living a victorious life to how to deal with the suffering that's in your life. And then the Lord's going to begin to show with us how that we are eternally secure because of the work of God for us on the cross. And then the second Sunday in December, we're going to talk about missions. And then the last two Sundays in December, we will address the birth and the significance of that in our lives. It's crucial that you invite your neighbors and your friends next Sunday morning if they attend Harden. Because verses 28 through 30 is going to show why all that's happening to us is happening and how it all fits together. Now let's think about verses 26 and 27. Have you ever been in a situation where you said to someone or you thought to yourself, I wouldn't have made it had you not been there? Now, I don't mean flippantly. I mean, you really realize that the person who was standing with you during a certain situation, they made a difference in the outcome of the situation. How many of you know you've had a situation like that? Wow. Or maybe you've been in a situation and you knew the outcome was directly affected and changed because you knew somebody or a group of people were praying for you. How many of you can testify to that? You know, in the Gospel of Luke, Peter had one of those moments. Jesus is getting ready to go to Gethsemane and the disciples are arguing over which one is the greatest. And then Jesus begins to tell them what's going to happen to Him. And Peter pledges loyalty to Jesus. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter? Except He didn't say Peter. He said, Simon, Simon. Goes back to that old name. Satan has demanded. Wow. That you be sifted as wheat. But then he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith not fail. And when you are strengthened, when you are converted, I want you to strengthen your brothers. Now, do y'all remember that? Peter said, Lord, I'll go to prison with you and I'll lay my life down for you. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, before the night's over and the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. See, Peter there fully believed on that night it would be God's will for him to lay his life down for Jesus. But what he did not realize, that was not God's will. God's will was for Jesus to lay his life down for Peter and for us. I have to believe later in Peter's ministry, he looked back and realized how powerful the prayer of Jesus was. Because while he made a mistake and he denied the Lord three times, his faith did not fail. Amen. The Bible is full of stories to where people actually intercede like Jesus did for Peter on behalf of others. You remember Abraham interceding for Sodom and for his nephew Lot. You remember when Moses interceded for the children of Israel after they had made the golden calf and God was getting ready to consume the nation of Israel, and Moses stood before the Lord and interceded on their behalf. An intercessor is someone who stands in the gap. Someone who stands alongside. Someone who stands in between someone and someone else. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27. And we're going to look at a passage that I think is neglected. I'll tell you why I think it's neglected. I think sometimes it's tough when you live next door to someone or someplace really famous. How many of you know the name of Winston Churchill? How many of you know the guy who followed him in office? Hardly anybody. How many of you can quote John 3:16? How many of you can confidentially right now, if I called on you, quote John 3:17? Just a few. Everybody knows Romans 8:28. But the same people who know Romans 8:28, hardly any know Romans 8:26 and 27. In all of my years in the church, if I can be totally honest with you, I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon preached on these verses. And they are absolutely amazing. Listen to the Word of God as we read these verses. ESV, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I think most of us realize the New Testament teaches that Jesus Christ right now is sitting at the right hand throne of God making intercession for you and I. Amen? Hebrews 7:25, 1 John 2:1, Romans 8:34. We remember when we were studying through the book of Hebrews a few years ago, when we came into this building, we taught through the book of Hebrews for a couple of years. And if you remember, the writer of Hebrews introduced us to Jesus Christ as our high priest, and how because He lives continually. He continually lives to make intercession for us. And because He lives to make intercession for us, we are saved completely. We're saved to the uttermost. We're saved to the very end. Because of the work of Jesus Christ on a cross, you don't have to worry about your salvation, because it does not rest on you and what you do. It rests totally on what God has done for you in Christ. And the Christ who died for you right now is sitting at the right hand throne of God, and He's interceding for you. He's standing there. He's sitting there on your behalf. The writer of Hebrews in the 4th chapter taught us that in order for Him to be our high priest and to be able to sympathize with us, He had to take upon a flesh just like ours. In other words, He, Jesus Christ, the God-man, had a body, a flesh that was weak just like yours. And He was tempted just like you, yet without sin. Why? So that He could sympathize with us. The word sympathize means to suffer with. Do you realize Jesus Christ took upon a body just like yours, just like mine, and faced temptation for us so that He could suffer like we suffer? Why? So that right now, at the right hand throne of God, He understands every temptation you face. And if I can say this, He understands it more fully than you understand it. Because most of us, when it comes to temptation, we never pay the full price. We give in. We don't know what it would have been like if we'd went a little deeper, or a little deeper, or a little deeper. Jesus went to the depth of temptation, yet never sinned. Boy, I got to tell you something. You don't know what it does to my heart to know at all times Jesus never goes to sleep. He is at the Father's right hand side, and He's interceding there on my behalf. This is why in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "For me to come boldly to the throne of grace." Boy, we've tried to the best of our ability, and I don't know if we've accomplished this or not. We've tried to get you to quit thinking of grace merely as opportunity and just merely as provision, but to see grace as God's enabling power. To see grace as God's ability. To see grace as God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself, though you can now do what He did. And that's live the life that God has ordained for you to live. See, in the midst of temptation, here's what the Bible says. I've got a high priest who's interceding for me at the right hand throne of God, and I need to come to that throne. And when I come to that throne, let me tell you what I'll find in the nick of time. I'll find mercy and grace. And if you remember that Hebrews study, we dealt with this topic. Mercy is the ability to get over what you've done. And then grace is the ability to get on with the rest of your life. Is it not neat to know that you have a Savior who sits at the right hand throne of God, and anytime you are in a place of temptation, anytime there's a weakness of the flesh, you can go to the throne of grace, and if you've already blown it, you'll receive mercy, and then He'll give you grace to get over it and to get on with the rest of your life for the glory of God. Man, when I think about Christ interceding above me in the heavens, it's a tremendous thought. You know why Peter couldn't fail? He had Jesus praying for him. How can you and I feel like failures when we have Jesus praying for us? Do you understand that? He's not there at the right hand throne of God saying, "Okay, Father, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them." He's done forgiving us. Jesus is there interceding on our behalf. Not for forgiveness, but for the ability to get over what's happened to us and get on with our life. Do you believe God's going to answer that prayer or not? He's going to answer it. Now we're introduced to something amazing alongside that truth. I think that truth overshadows this truth in Romans 8. And that's this. Not only do I have God the Son in heaven interceding for me, the Bible teaches in Romans 8, 26 and 27 that I have God the Holy Spirit within me interceding for me. Wow. I believe this with all my heart. The intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ at the right-hand throne of God means God fully understands your temptations. Don't you ever think you faced a temptation situation that God did not understand? He fully understands it. But Romans chapter 8 is not dealing with our temptation to sin. In this section, what's it dealing with? It's dealing with our suffering. And here's what I think we don't realize. We understand Jesus understands how we've been tempted. But do you really believe God understands your suffering? Or do you believe God's exempt from suffering? Let me tell you what the Bible's teaching us here. The Bible's teaching us that just as Jesus understands the extent of your temptation, the Holy Spirit of God understands the extent of your suffering. And yet sometimes what thought goes through our mind, God doesn't understand. And sometimes because of how a situation turns out, because we maybe believe God doesn't understand, it makes us also sometimes wonder if He cares or if He really loves me. Am I close here this morning or am I missing it? About the only times Romans 26 and 27 is spoken of in the church is spoken of out of context. The context of Romans 8, 26 and 27 is in the midst of suffering, us living in a body that's weak and frail. And it suffers. And God has ordained that suffering to actually be a path to our future glorification with Jesus Christ. He actually teaches that we will not become like Christ without suffering to a certain degree. Now, in the midst of that suffering, here's what the Bible says. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. I don't know if you realize it or not, but when I came to Hardin, this church helped me with my educational expenses to get through school. And because of this church's generosity, wow. God allowed me to sit at the feet of some really neat, neat men of God who I'd have never had that opportunity if it hadn't been for this church. My Greek teacher influenced me in a tremendous way. His name was Mike Morris. And you know, when you look at this little word, helps, in the English, it just looks like a simple little word. He helps us. But here's what the English translators have done. They have taken a compound word in Greek. Now, normally when we think of compound words, we think of taking two words, putting them together and forming a new word, right? If I were to show you this word in the Greek language, it's actually a triple compound word. Three different Greek words have been put together to form a new word, and the English translates this big word with a little word, helps. Not even a compound word. If I were to break this word down for you, sunantilambanasai, it means to come alongside of, soon, anti, and stand in the place of, lambanistai, to take hold of, to bear, or to remove. Wow! You see why I want you to be awake? The Bible says that in the midst of our weakness, of us having a body, while we're waiting for this new body to get here that's on its way one day, in the midst of my suffering, in the midst of my frailty, in the midst of my weakness, I have someone who comes in alongside and stands with me and takes hold of whatever I'm in to help either bear it or to remove it. Is that amazing? Then why do we need a helper like that? Here's why. Because sometimes in the midst of our circumstances that involve suffering, we really don't know how to pray. And how to pray doesn't mean we've forgotten to fall on our knees or to close our eyes or open our heart to God. What it means is, have you ever done this? You get in your prayer position, your prayer attitude, and because of the circumstances you're in, you just honestly don't know what to say to God. You understand the character of prayer, but you don't understand the content of prayer. You have no idea what to ask for right now. Why do you not know what to ask for? Because here's what you believe. In certain situations, more than other situations, here's what I know. I don't want my will. I want God's will to be done. Because ultimately, I believe there are some things that I could ask for that might not bring what's best for me or the person I'm praying for into their life. I know how it looks to me right now, but I really don't know whether to ask for that or not because I really don't know if that's what's best. But here's what I trust. I trust my Father has a will and His will is best. Agreed? Look at me. You know what most of us do in that position? We stop. We get up and we feel frustrated and we feel hopeless and we don't know what to do. And here's what the Bible's teaching. Don't get up. Don't quit praying. But just know that when you're at the end of you and you really don't know what to ask God for, you got the Holy Spirit of God within you who's been given to you as the first installment of your salvation. He's interceding for you. Wow. Listen to this. With groanings too deep for words. This verse is not teaching about biblical glossolalia. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit articulating words that we who are of the English language do not understand. This is talking about the Holy Spirit who lives within you, who has come in alongside you during this moment of intense suffering. That because He is suffering with you, He is sensing the extent of your suffering. Because you are groaning, He groans, and these groans that He has, they're deeper than any words could articulate. There is a difference in a believer who's in an unredeemed body who groans because of his suffering and a believer who grumbles because of his suffering. When I'm grumbling, I don't think this is fair. I don't think this is right. I don't think I or the person I'm praying for deserves what they're going through. But when I am groaning, I am under a tremendous load. I have a tremendous burden. And that burden is so heavy that I can't articulate it with words. But I just find myself sighing and I find myself groaning and desiring to stand up under the intensity of it. And the Holy Spirit groans. You know what this tells me? This tells me that there's merit to my pain. There's merit to my pain. There's real merit to my suffering. If I can say this, don't look at me and say I'm being a baby. I am not being a baby. Because the situation that I'm in is not only affecting me, it's affecting the Holy Spirit within me. And because I don't know what to pray for, He does. But because He's with me in my groaning, in other words, He's coming in alongside me, and without me realizing it, He's bearing the burden. He's bearing the load. This word to groan is a word picture in the Greek language, and it's the word picture of two guys facing each other on the end of a log. You ever tried to go to the middle of a log and pick a log up in the middle and you couldn't pick it up? But if you'd get on one end, another guy get on the other end, together you could do it? That's the picture here. What comes your way in life is not designed by God to defeat you. It's been designed by God to mold you and shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. And God knows there are some situations you just could not face by yourself. This ain't a temptation to sin. It's a pure, unadulterated suffering. Don't you ever believe that what you go through does not affect God. And don't you do what so many commentaries that I read done. They act like this cannot be God groaning. And yet the Bible clearly says the Holy Spirit groans with groanings that are too deep for words. So here I am. I'm in the midst of suffering. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know how to pray. Just what I'm going to trust. I'm not getting up off my knees. I'm not shutting that door to my God. I'm going to continue to pray without ceasing. And when I don't know the will of God, here's what I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust the Bible's true. And if the Holy Spirit knows why I can't pray, and here's what I know. I know verse 27 says that he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit of God's within me. He's suffering along with me. The God who searches the hearts. Have you ever noticed all the times in the Bible that God's identified that way as the God who knows the hearts? Do you remember when Samuel went to Jesse's family and thought Abinadab was it? Man, he's a nice looking firstborn son. And God said to Samuel, he's not the one. Don't look on the outside appearance. God knows the heart. God looks within. You remember when Solomon was dedicating the temple in 1 Kings 8? 39, I believe. Solomon prayed to the God who knows the hearts of all the children of mankind. And then you remember when David was dying and Solomon was going to be the successor, and David called Solomon to him, and in 2 Chronicles 28:9, David reminds Solomon to search the Lord with all of his heart, because he said, God knows the hearts of all men. Listen to this. The God who knows your heart and the heart of all people in the midst of their suffering also knows the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit of God who knows what you are going through. His mind, while He is groaning without words, is read by and known by our Father. So what? Father's not listening to your mind that says, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to ask for. He goes directly to the mind of the Spirit. And what's the Spirit of God doing while He's groaning? He's praying. He's interceding for you. A saint. A person who's been set apart for the glory of God. According to the will of God. I asked you. Is this not amazing? You think God the Father is going to say no to the Holy Spirit of God? Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is never going to ask God for anything that's not according to His will. There's times that I pray and I know the will of God. Wow, it's awesome. But there's times I don't know the will of God. When I don't know the will of God, I don't quit praying. I pray and trust and depend upon my intercessor. Who's within me? Listen to this. When everybody else goes home, as a believer, you are never alone. He, God, is always there with you, bearing with you everything you bear. And praying about how this thing that you're in the midst of is going to be used by God to ultimately get you just like Jesus Christ. That's all I got to say. Father, God, I confess to you, I had not understood the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the fullest. I have so focused on the John passage of the Holy Spirit as our paraclete, as my helper, my guide, my witness, my convictor, my teacher. And Father, maybe because I love Romans 8:1 so much and Romans 8:28 so much and Romans 8:39 so much that I just overlooked and did not realize the one living in me who I could not make it without. But God, I now want to recognize my intercessor. Not just Jesus in heaven, but the Holy Spirit within me. And I want to thank you that I will not be defeated. And I will ultimately be where you say I will be, who you say I really am. Because you have gifted me with the presence of yourself, the Holy Spirit of God. And because He knows your mind, your will, and you know His mind, He's praying for me. May I rest in the truth that I not just have a wife or children or a mom or a dad or a church that prays for me or a pastor that prays for me, but I have God praying for me from within me. And He sees it, not just from God's perspective, but He sees it from my perspective, just as Jesus sees my temptation from my perspective, not just His perspective. And God, may that change this church. To know that I'm in a relationship with a God who doesn't just have a heavenly perspective, He fully understands the earthly perspective too. God, I pray that my grumbling becomes groaning. And Father, may we groan this morning for that new body. But until we get it, may we patiently endure with confident expectation every situation. In Christ's name.